Bay Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies. We're going a night early, and that possibly has to do with it being Labor Day. Being forced to work on Labor Day, Carlos. I mean, I don't know what contracts we signed with RBLR, but I don't remember this being a part of it. We need to start a union while you and I are all also, obviously, as we established last week, board members of RBLR Rowdies.
Yeah, this is outrageous, and I'll ignore the fact that it was my suggestion, but I still agree. This is outrageous. We shouldn't be working for these long hours, but James, you know what? There's never a day off. It's the Rowdies, you know, like there's games on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays coming up soon against Loudoun. That game's on Sunday. I saw the upcoming away game in a few weeks against Birmingham is listed at 12:30 p.m. on a Wednesday. That's kind of weird. We're working at all hours. I'm not sure if that's the real time or not. But who knows? Who knows? We're here Monday, 5:15 p.m. on Labor Day. And we're going to enjoy what's hopefully a fun episode of RBLR Rowdies. A nice win this weekend. Haven't had the chance to say that in a couple weeks. James, things might be looking up for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. There's plenty of soccer left to play. We're on the back end of the season. We'll talk about the table in just a little bit. But moving on up, question mark? Before we do talk about any of that, James, it's been a fun weekend. Had a long weekend. Happy Labor Day to everyone listening on this Monday afternoon. I spent the weekend at the Rays versus the Nats games this weekend, which was super fun. I got a fun little Nationals ice cream hat, and the Rays swept them. So it was great time all around. Rays got three wins in a row this weekend, and Rowdies obviously got a win we'll talk about here in a second. USF, James, got a huge win against Boise State last Thursday. Like, there's just been a lot happening in the world of Tampa Bay sports.
Mm-hmm.
I just got back from a Georgetown soccer game as well. They played against the number one team in the country, the former national champs, the reigning national champs from last year, the Vermont Catamounts. That was a great game. They tied 1-1. So it's been a weekend full of sports. I'm all sported out, but I'm still ready to talk about the Rowdies because, of course, my favorite team, biggest, greatest team in the world, the oldest, the best, the first ever soccer team, the inventors of soccer, the academy of soccer, the everything. Everything that's ever happened about soccer comes back to the Rowdies, James. Let's talk about your weekend, though. What have you been up to?
Well, we also took part in the soccer on Saturday. We went to see the Tampa Bay Sun, and although that wasn't a win, it was still good to have them playing at home again. I did enjoy that. We got to enjoy everybody's company again, seeing all the members of the Heat Wave in person that we haven't seen over the off season, although I have seen a fair few of them too. So I guess it was just good to see everybody again. And I will point out, going to the press conference, Denise Shilty Brown appeared to be very upset, and I'm inclined to agree with her, at least in terms of one referee's call. There was a very bad penalty call, according to me, who was 10 feet away from it and right behind where that happened. So I'm not going to repeat what I yelled at the referee. I'll say that. Either way, we're going to talk about the Rowdies tonight, and we're going to talk less, unfortunately, about the Sun loss and what they can do, because that one was a loss. And while it's a soccer team, this is also the Rowdies podcast. So let's focus on the Rowdies, not least for the fact that, as Carlos pointed out, they got a pretty damn good win this past weekend. Not something that I personally expected, although Carlos and Eureka did call this. So I'll just say, in our prediction standings, Carlos is now on 9 points. Eureka and I are tied on 18 points. So this is how it's looking so far into the season. I will point out that none of us is particularly good yet again at making predictions about the scores for these games. But
I'm almost ready to start calling Buffalo Wild Wings and getting the order of the hottest wings on the menu. I'm assuming that's kind of the direction we go again. But you know what, James? Still lots of soccer left to play. What are we going to do? I don't know. I'm going to keep predicting wins, and I hope we start turning things around and you know, the predictions start lining up for me, but we'll see what happens.
I also hope for wins, while I hope for myself that I figure out how to accurately predict these games just a little bit better. But regardless, we will review this game, this win versus Pittsburgh Riverhounds, and we will preview a game coming up this weekend versus Sacramento Republic. If anybody is unaware, it is not just that we are hosting Sacramento Republic. In fact, we are hosting former manager Neil Collins. He is in charge at Sacramento, and so he will be back in town to face his former team, Bay Rowdies. And we'll probably give him some good heckling, light heckling, but I imagine that everything will be in good fun, and hopefully we'll get to see him after the game and just say hi, catch up for two minutes, whatever we have in between press conferences. That would be nice.
Absolutely.
We'll do all of that. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform, and of course please follow us on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. You guys know the drill. If you want to interact with us in any further way, you probably know how to do that, and we appreciate when you do. Carlos, let's do the quick recap here. You included a note that I didn't know until I went and did the rewatch that I got to today, but yes, Forrest Lasso was unavailable. Broken clavicle. That was not something that I had actually known from the Detroit City game, but that's where we are. Yeah. And you noted as well that Ollie Bassett was not available.
Yeah, that one, not as sure why. I don't remember if he picked up a notable injury or anything the last few weeks, but he wasn't available against Detroit either, if I'm not mistaken. So it's now a couple weeks back to back without Ollie. No Lasso, like we mentioned, which again, not like super surprising, I guess, because he's had injury problems this year, but a little bit out of nowhere, given the fact that he didn't come off against Detroit City last week. So there's no, you know, assumption there that we were going to be without him this week. And then he was unavailable for selection in this particular game against Pittsburgh. Again, didn't know why, but the commentators attributed it to a broken clavicle and just threw that in there kind of casually, which was, again, rather surprising. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. Something like that takes at least a month and a half to 2 months to get back into working condition with. So any injuries are bad at this point. The good thing is that we've built a team of basically mostly utility players at this point, James, that we can move around and, you know, slot in as needed. We'll talk a little bit about the formation in this one in just a second, but you'll see that there were a lot of moving parts throughout this game. And I will imagine there will continue to be not only into the next several games ahead of us, but during those games as well. Hopefully if that's accurate, speedy recovery is what we're hoping for all of our injured players, but especially if Forrest Lasso, who seems to have gotten some consistent minutes finally after dealing with on and off injuries. So I'm hoping that's not a long period that we're without him, but speedy recovery to him, of course, is what we're wishing for. So, James, let me take you through the lineup for this weekend's game. Again, Ethan Bondre in net in this one. We signed Hamid before our game last week against Detroit. Still have yet to see him on the field for us. He was on the bench. He was available, but we went with Bondre in this one. New Rowdies signing, Jean-Marie, slotted in for the Rowdies. We'll talk a bit more about him in just a second. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on him, James. This was one that came out of nowhere for me as well. I believe it's alone. I'll double check myself in a second. Marie was in there at the right wing back spot. You had Wyke, Castellano, and Guillen in that back line with Bodley out in the left back spot, left wing back spot, of course. Chrysostomo and Casey Hilton in front of them, and then Luis Alvarez just behind Rubens Pesillas in the attack. I'll mention that Van Kaziel seemed to play more of this game in the back line than Wyke. They kind of flip-flopped at multiple occasions in this game. You'll notice as we talk about this game later on, we'll continue to talk about this game. There were a lot of subs on the back end of this game. In particular, this Jean-Marie guy was moving around quite a bit. He went from that right wing-back spot to the central midfield, back to the right wing-back spot. Wyke played most of this game at the center midfield spot, and Van Kaziel slotted back into the back line, like we've seen him do a lot this year. So a lot of interesting moving parts. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But it was Pittsburgh that, despite all the changes and the new signing for the Rowdies, it was Pittsburgh that would come in and get the early lead just after the second minute, James. A super early goal. Obviously, never want to let in any goals, but particularly that early. It was all for Pittsburgh that scored in the third minute. Charles Aull, 22-year-old center mid, got on the board very, very early. It was a great run from, who was it that got the assist for Pittsburgh? Great run from Robbie Mertz, who tore up our back line, unfortunately. Van Kaziel was a bit late to get back to him. Castellanos couldn't close down on him. And he puts a lovely ball to Aull, who finishes, puts him up 1-0. Later on in that first half, James, you had maybe one look from the Rowdies. It was Wubens Pacias header that went just over the bar. He was wide open in the middle of the box. You really want to put that in, obviously, to get things going for him. But a clear look that goes high for the Rowdies. That's about your best look of the first half. We move into the second half, and it wouldn't be until the 64th minute, James, that Lewis Hilton gets on the board for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. He got the easy part. Joey Skinner did all the work on this one off the corner from outside the top of the box, puts in a good header that hits the bottom of the bar and falls to Lewis Hilton's feet, who taps it in and gets the easiest goal of his career. 1-1, Rowdies and Pittsburgh level it up in the 64th minute. And then 12 minutes later, James Wubs Pacias gets the goal that'll put the Rowdies ahead for good in this one. Rowdies win this one 2-1 off of a beautiful cross, by the way, from Manu Arteaga. Not one we've ever really thought of as being, you know, a playmaker from the outside, putting in a good ball like the one he did. He's usually the target man who's putting those away, but credit where it's due. That was great, great ball from way back close to half field on the left. Puts in a beautiful ball. As the commentator said, James, Woobs beats Dick to put the Rowdies up 2-1 and give us the lead and give us the well-needed, well-deserved 3 points. Okay, a great game, James. Slow first half, lots to talk about here. Jean-Marie is on loan, by the way. I'm stupid. I knew that. I don't know why I said I pretend. Like I had to like fact check myself. That's a fact. He's here on loan. He was really good. I want to talk about him later on. But, James, sorry, I'm stumbling. I don't even know where to start. Should we talk about the table first? Is that something I should mention before we jump into the –
I think that the table would be helpful here because obviously it is looming over us with only 9 games left at this point.
Yeah, I was going to give you the lead here as we jump into the analysis, but I want to give a little bit of context as to where we are on the table. Obviously, not much changing in the Eastern Conference top two. Louisville City and Charleston Battery still first and second. Loudoun United well behind them in third place with 34 points, 13 points behind Charleston Battery in second place. North Carolina 33, Detroit on 29, Hartford on 29. Our opponents from this weekend, Pittsburgh on 28. This is all relevant because you'll see where we are right now. In eighth place, Rhode Island is 24 points. Again, that's the last playoff spot. Rhode Island 24 points. They played 22 games. Indy 11, 23 points at ninth place. Birmingham 21 points. And of course, your Tampa Bay Rowdies are sitting in 11th place with 21 points. They crawled out of the cellar. They're in 11th place instead of 12th. But I want to point you to that eighth place playoff spot in particular, James. Rhode Island has played one more game than us. We have that game in hand and is only up 3 points. That's one win ahead of your Tampa Bay Rowdies. So you mentioned it, 9 games left to play this season. That's a lot of points up for grabs. It's a lot of soccer left to be played. I don't want to be dramatic, but the commentators, I think, said it best, that win, that goal that Pacias had on the back end of this one changes the direction potentially of this season for the Rowdies. You have the opportunity now to take advantage of that, string together one more win or two, and you're quite literally in playoff position. So despite everything that's happened this year, we'll talk about it in just a second, there's opportunity here to really get things going. We've waited long enough this season for that to happen. I wouldn't mind if that happened at the end of the year. So let's see what happens there. Out west, I'll mention that Tulsa is still in first place. Our opponents this weekend will be no pushover, Sacramento Republic and Neil Collins. I found their rhythm. They're in second place on 34 points. El Paso in third place, San Antonio fourth, Phoenix in fifth. Lexington SC is an interesting team. They were out in last place when we went to play them in Lexington earlier this year. After that, they started to turn things around, and they're comfortably in playoff position right now in the West. Your last place team out west, Oakland Roots SC, in their first season in the Coliseum. That sucks. They're well in last place in the Western Conference. Okay.
Yeah.
James, that's my ramble. That's your table update. There's a lot happening in the world of USL, right? It's all kind of relevant right now, like especially on the bottom end of the Eastern Conference, because there's such little margin for error for these teams from like 7th to 11th place, right? From like your Hartford to all the way down to your Rowdies. And Miami. Miami is still technically in the playoff picture, even in last place, right? There's every point counts. Every team has 8 or 9 games left. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens on the back end of this year. Okay. All that being said, we kicked off the back end of this year with an incredible 2-1 win. It was awesome. It was not a packed house at Al Lang, but a loud crowd. Great to see. James, how were we able to beat this Pittsburgh squad that hasn't had a great run of results recently, but has comfortably been in that middle part of the playoff position for most of the year? Good team. Played them at home. Team that's had great rhythm this year. What did we do to beat this team that maybe we haven't done in the past couple of weeks?
Well, I want to say this one is a little interesting because of the difference between the first and the second half.
Yeah.
I would say that the first half wasn't as good as the second half, and it's not just because of the goals. I think that the goals are just reward, so to speak, for having played better soccer. So it should be pointed out, both of the goals came off of set pieces. So if we can get more set pieces and turn them into goals, I'm all for that.
And without Lasso, by the way, Bob, without our tallest guy, something to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose that is one more positive, and we'll get to that once we actually get to the second half specifically. But this game started out very early for us. I know that's kind of a weird phrasing, but it started out for Pittsburgh a lot better than it started for us, obviously. And the way that that happened was, Carlos, you and I talked about this when we previewed the Pittsburgh game, and we said, hey, Pittsburgh are going to have three at the back. They're going to have a fuller midfield and then a players that sit beneath Augie Williams. But the way that they move the ball forward is going to be via their wingbacks. Those are going to be the important players. And within the first 2-3 minutes, I think that the two wingbacks for Pittsburgh both were heavily involved. Perrin Barnes on the right and Luke Biasi on the left. It was Luke Biasi who was involved in the play that ultimately led to the goal for Pittsburgh. And it's going to be Barnes on the right and Biasi on the left, and they're going to interact with the two attacking midfielders in front of them, which on the left side, it was Robbie Mertz. He ultimately got that assist.
Yeah.
And on the right side, it was Charles All. It was Charles All who got the goal. So, it's not something that was too hard to predict, I should say. That's the way that Pittsburgh has played for several years at this point. Unfortunate that we couldn't hold them off. Unfortunate that we weren't properly prepared within those moments to react to what they were doing. And I would say that possibly that was down to maybe a lack of familiarity. I don't know. We have already talked about this. The Rowdies made a signing right before this game, yet another new signing on loan, and that was Paul Marie. He's a right back, or in this case, a right wing back, who plays originally for San Jose Earthquakes. He joined them out of the draft from FIU a couple of years ago. So, you know, keep in mind, he's a partial Florida product, not totally. He's obviously French to begin with, but he went to FIU before graduating and actually made it through the draft to sign for the Earthquakes, where he has made over 100 appearances within MLS. So this is a good player. He's not playing for them specifically right now because San Jose have improved in that position, and I guess that's positive because San Jose, if you do know MLS, you know that San Jose are generally one of the worst teams, and the ownership group there just doesn't seem to give a hoot, let's say, about their soccer team, San Jose Earthquakes. I think that they own other sports teams as well. But yeah, anyway, getting back to it, Paul Marie, good player, and I'm happy that we're going to have this option. The thing that I wanted to highlight about Paul Marie, Carlos, and this is something that I wanted to focus on here before we move on in a little bit more into the game itself.
Yeah.
Since he's the topic of this micro segment that we're working on here. Nick Moon appears to not be the right wing back of choice for Dominic Cacciato. He has been available for the last couple of games. He has not started in that position. And we've seen a couple of different players fill in there. Nick Moon was one at different times, but mostly he has actually been played in a more advanced role. This is also true of Joey Skinner, by the way. But Joey Skinner was always going to be a backup to Blake Bodley if those are the two options. I think that was already kind of known. So Nick Moon, is he out of favor here? He started the game on the bench. He came in after an injury. And then ultimately he was also subbed out later on. So I'm assuming that Nick Moon just has not shown enough defensively for Dominic Cacciato because he's moved him higher up the field when he actually has played him. And even then, it's not as frequently as you or I would have expected. So is Paul Marie going to be the right wing back for the rest of the season? I assume so. But what do you make of this, Carlos, with Nick Moon specifically and our options on the right side?
Yeah, I don't know why I kept calling him John Marie. Paul Marie, that's his name. You make a good point. He is a really good player. He has a great run of games under his belt. It's fun. It's interesting to think about like a guy who's very much in the middle of his career at 30 years old, getting sent out on loan. I feel like that's a little rare at this level. You usually see the guys getting sent out on loan to USL being like younger development prospect guys, right? This guy's a veteran of US soccer at this point. And like you said, played his college soccer here, knows the game very well in the US. And he was legit. I mean, he came in, established himself early on. He looked really good on that right wing back spot. It took him a little bit to get upfield and start making those chances happen. If you look him up online, you get to see a lot of his like ridiculous outside the box shots that he scored for San Jose throughout his career there. Like, he has a lot of offensive prowess to him, which is really, really interesting. Nick Moon is someone that I've expected to also have that offensive prowess, and he does. He definitely does. He gets up the field well. He puts in a good ball. He can take guys on one-on-one. We know he's had some injuries as well. Like that, I'm sure that's a factor, right? When he got subbed off later on in this one in the 75th minute, it was because of some sort of injury. I'm not sure if there's any serious contact on that for that corner that we served in for the goal. That's when he got subbed out, was before that corner. But he was down, eventually got subbed out for Asokar, Juan Carlos Asokar, who subbed in. And again, we saw him slot in that right wing back spot. And then Paul Marie moved back into kind of like a central midfield role. Super interesting, right? It's hard to keep track of if you're watching the game just as a fan. Like, I don't know how closely you're paying attention to this. Like, you just want the goals to start coming and you don't really care who's creating the opportunities or where they are on the field, right? So at this point, when we're up 2-1, I'm not sure how many people are keeping track of this. But if you go back and look at it, it's really, really, really interesting, right? He's playing right wing back a lot of this game. Nick Moon comes in, and it seems like Nick Moon is actually in that right wing back spot while he's on the field, pushing Paul Marie up the field into like the central part of the midfield. Really interesting. Again, pointing him out as like a serious utility guy with some offensive firepower. And he was moving up the field pretty well in the midfield as well. Like, so it seems like he's got good grasp on both of these positions. Nick Moon goes down, Paul Marie goes back to that right wing back spot. It's just fascinating, right? What do I make of it? I think it just means that we needed some more depth right there. And that depth has turned into a potential, maybe likely starter with Moon going down and having an injury, you know, problem as he had for the last couple of years at this point. So I don't know. I mean, I'm happy with it if this is what we're going to get from Paul Marie. And I think something to really keep an eye on as we kind of go forward into the next few games. But again, particularly noting that Moon went off with an injury, I would expect that we get more Paul Marie in the right wing back spot, which, again, not complaining about at this point if this is what we get out of him. Pointing at the rest of the lineup, it was really interesting to see how when Asilcar came in, he was advertised to me as a striker, maybe an attacking midfield kind of guy, some depth over there. Moon comes off with an injury. Asilcar goes back to that right wing back spot. And then again, John Marie moves back up. Sorry, why do we call him John Marie? Paul Marie keeps moving him back up into the central midfield. So I am really interested in Castellanos' thinking. I'm really interested in the fact that he trusts Marie to be a mainstay in the central midfield for what was essentially the last, well, most of the second half, really, right? He was there when Moon was in the center mid, and then he was in the center midfield for when Asilcar was in the right wing back spot. So there's a lot going on, a lot of movement happening. I'm not like, it's curious because you want some consistency to really get things going. But I also understand trying things out, trying to improve in areas where we've been bad. Like, there's no point in being consistent if it's consistently bad, right? So I understand the point of shaking things up.
Carlos, I like that. I like the way that you put that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it makes sense, right? That's you can respect the shakeup and moving things around and trying guys in different areas. Like, again, I get that. That's why we brought in Luis Alvarez earlier this year, right? Like, he was supposed to be kind of the jumpstart guy in the midfield, which I'll throw him in here because, again, I didn't really see anything out of him in this one. He got subbed off at the end of the first half because there just wasn't really anything going there. We went in and added another striker, which, interestingly enough, that striker was the guy who put in a great ball later on in the game and did what I would assume a Luis Alvarez would be doing. You know what I mean? So it's interesting, right? We're changing things, moving things around, and I can respect that at this point in the year because you want to get the results. You want to try and improve where things are bad. So good. Good for Cacciata. Personnel-wise, again, just really, really fascinating. Ben Kaziel has continued to be a really good utility player. He was in the right wing back spot for a lot of this year, center back this game. He was in the center midfield for three, four, five games in the year, kind of in the duo with Chrysostomo. It's just been really, really weird. It's been really not fun to see all the movement, but at least this is a game with a lot of movement where we actually find the back of the net and get the win. James, can I ask you about Joey Skinner? I'm going through my list.
Let's talk about him.
I'm going down my notes and I'm just basically looking at every player that jumped in this game, right? There's a lot of guys I wanted to highlight for good things. Luis Alvarez was a guy that I wanted to, again, just ask for a bit more out of. I think Chrysostomo had a fine game. Nothing really to write home about there. The back line was mostly fine. I think Castellanos could have done a bit better on that first goal. Same thing with Van Kaziel. But I want to mention Joey Skinner again. We've done this a bit over the last month or so, right? He's gotten on the score sheet. He's created chances. He comes in with a lot of energy into that left wing back spot. As depth for Blake Bodley. Whenever Blake Bodley comes off the field, I get a little scared because I really like his ability to move up the field, create chances, basically be our engine on that left side.
Understood.
Right. But then Joey Skinner comes in every time and surprises me every time to a point where I feel like I shouldn't be as surprised anymore. He had a great game in this one. Essentially, let's give him – did he get an assist for that goal? I don't think so, right? That's not, it would be like more.
No,
like
no, that was not credited as an assist. I think that any deflected shot.
Does most of the work on that goal that Hilton.
Definitely gets. That. Yes.
Right? And then continues to put in a great defensive shift and help shut down Pittsburgh in this one. Have you been as impressed with Skinner as I have this year?
So I expected Skinner to get a little bit more playing time over the course of this season when we originally signed him. I didn't expect him to play as such an attacking player especially as we've seen lately. I expected him to be more in the role that Aaron Guillen has kind of just sat in all season. Sure. And yeah. Aaron Guillen has held it down. So, you know, what are you going to say about that? If somebody's playing well enough in the coach's eyes to keep his spot, then I don't think we can argue. But that's where I expected Joey Skinner to line up when he got on the field. I expected him to be depth there. He mostly has played either as backup, like you said, to Blake Bodley, which is fine. I think that he's done well, especially in getting forward in those positions. He's come on and offered, I don't know how many assists he has on the season. I'm going to look that up now that I am thinking about it. But I think that he is also recently taking on this role where he's actually more of an attacking midfielder who's interacting with the left wing back. And I guess he is, I don't know if this is something that he played previously in his career, because I remember when he was in college, he was not an attacking player, but he's done pretty well. Let's see. Joey Skinner has a goal and an assist in league play, and he has one cup goal. Yes, one cup goal. And I think that was against Naples, if I'm not mistaken. So, but recently, he's played as one of the kind of attacking midfielders. Like, if you think about it actually more the way Pittsburgh plays, he would be in the position that Robbie Mertz was holding this past weekend. And I think that Joey Skinner has done relatively well there. I think that he was, to bring it back to this game specifically, we were talking about the difference between the first half and the second half earlier on, and a lot of that does come down to substitutions. Luis Alvarez, like you said, Carlos, already goes off at the halftime break, and Manuel Arteaga comes on. Nick Moon and Joey Skinner both come on in the 60th minute with Lewis Hilton going off in the 74th, and I guess Nick Moon going off at the same time with his injury enforcing that substitution. So those are the big changes that actually make the game go in a different direction when it's going on in the second half. And I think that the set pieces are a big part of that. But I still think that, set pieces aside, we were actually doing better in the second half too. I think that we were doing better, especially when it comes to handling what Pittsburgh was trying to do. Pittsburgh, just to reiterate once more, they're not usually an unpredictable team. They're going to be a team that does what they generally do week in, week out, and they're going to try and beat you down by consistently doing the same thing, or every so often Robbie Mertz and the other player whose name I'm forgetting, that is their other major chance creator, Robbie Mertz and their other major chance creator whose name I'm forgetting, they'll pull a rabbit out of a hat. That does happen from time to time, but otherwise it's going to be the same kind of deal. And so you kind of have to, Danny Griffin, that's who it was, Danny Griffin. Those are the things that we need to do. If we're putting all of these other players on and defending a little bit better, and we're offering up something a little bit different than from what we were in the first half, then we started to look better overall. And that's where we got all the set pieces that ultimately led to two corners giving us a goal. I don't remember the last time that we had, it wasn't a direct one off of a corner, so fair enough, but it was still from a corner that we scored the winning goal. And that was cleared up to where Manuel Arteaga could grab it, put it back into the box, and Wubens Passius did really well, honestly, to bring it down and put it past the goalkeeper. But it was positive play. Joey Skinner was definitely a part of that. I think Nick Moon was also a part of that. But ultimately here, it's not the problem of consistency, because that's what consistency is. You have to create it. So how do you get it? That's more so what it is. It's how do you get that consistency? How do you get the level of play that we were having later on in the game, and forcing a couple more set pieces, a couple more corners out of this game from the first minute. The defensive side, maybe, like I said, it was a little bit of lack of familiarity. Maybe it was just a couple of players not being fully online in the first 2 minutes of it. And that's something that you can change with a stronger warm-up, I suppose. But I would like to see us, try and do what we did. This is another one of those where we've seen different performances between the first half and the second half, and the second half being better. And this one we won, but there are a couple examples in the past, Carlos, where we had dug ourselves a hole such that we couldn't even get out of it. So let's stop digging these holes in the first half. I guess that's one of my big takeaways here.
Well, we saw it even in that portion in the middle of the year over the summer, right, where we would concede first, even, and again, this was kind of when we were having a pretty decent run of form, considering where we've been this year. There's been a couple draws and there was a win or two in there, where we would concede first and then come back and scrap together a win, or more often a draw, a 1-1 draw situation. Lexington played a great game to Louisville, I remember, after conceding first. We lost that one. I want to say Indy as well, we conceded first, if I'm not mistaken. Like, we've conceded first a lot this year by nature of being in last place, right?
Yes.
Or formerly last place. We've lost a lot of games, but it seems like more often than not, the games that we've won or drawn, we've dug ourselves out of those holes, right? So it's a great pattern to recognize, not great to experience, but it's something to continue to keep an eye on, to continue to strengthen up defensively, hopefully. You make a good point. Maybe we were just waking up still in that second minute when that ball snuck in. It was really unfortunate because I think we had a lot of bodies back there to be able to stop that cross from even getting to all in the first place. And I think that's where, if we had played better, we would have met that attack. We would have met it like right outside the box on the left before it got into the middle of the mixer. But it is what it is, right? We're talking about, still talking about a win, right? So positive. And it's a win against a really solid squad in the USL this year. Not the best, but a comfortable playoff position squad at this point. Good win. A lot of good notes here from the second half. First half, eh. But again, I've talked a lot about this Paul Marie guy who admittedly hadn't heard of him before he signed with the Rowdies a couple days ago. I don't think we mentioned this. He put in both of the balls on those corner kicks that led to our goals.
Yes. Yes.
Just to throw that in there as well. I feel like we've had a lot of instances, and Louis Hilton does this a lot. Louis Hilton's a great midfielder. Obviously we know this about him, but I feel like there's been so many times this year where we get those corners and they're just short. Like these corners were on the money. It was right there into the danger zone where even if there's not someone directly there to put it away, that ball is, I don't know, like one lucky contact away from sneaking into to the back of the net. Even on the goal that Wubin scores, right, where the ball comes out to Arteaga and he puts the ball back in, Juan Carlos Azócar had a really great chance to stretch out his foot and knock the ball in before it even, you know, had to be served back into the box. So great corners there from Paul Marie. I really like this signing. 30-year-old loanee, like we've said. I think this could be really good for us on the back end of this year. Having such like a veteran presence, always good, but a veteran presence who's like really getting like stuck in and getting involved and creating chances and can apparently play so many freaking positions. Like that's awesome. I still can't get over the ball that Manny Arteaga serves in to Macias. Like again, ridiculous floater, like right to the back post on the money. Great touch from Macias, by the way, who just blasts it home. He had a great game. He like the limited chances we did have in this one, he helped to create on his own accord, and especially in that first half, right? Like he was really close to putting away that goal off of the header. He could have done a little bit better, but he settled in the second half, eventually, obviously got this goal. So kudos to him. One more thing I'll mention, just in terms of like chemistry and player attitude and body language. When I went back to look at the goal that he scored against Macias, there was like, what was that? Skinner and Guillen actually turn and go celebrate with Manny Arteaga on the other side of the field instead of going to celebrate with Woobs. Obviously not because they like hate Woobs or something, but I think it was just so fun. And I think notable that Arteaga puts in this ridiculous ball, gets this assist, and he's going crazy and celebrating like he scored the goal himself. And the guys were celebrating with him too. Like that's great chemistry. That's great body language. It's what you really want to see at this point in the year when you just, well, at any point in the year, but in particular when we're having the season we're having, James, like you want to see confidence, belief, the understanding that we're still in the mix for the playoffs, right? It's the benefit of you, like how we do American soccer. Like you still have season left to play. Mm-hmm. You still have 9 games left to play. And at the end of that, potentially, hopefully more games. So it's really cool. Pacia celebrated like he just won the World Cup. Like he was going crazy. Paul Marie was jumping on him and celebrating like he's been on the team for years. Like, awesome. This is all great stuff, independent of a great game that we played, a great second half that we played, right? I'd like to see a more complete 90 going forward. But everyone celebrated like they've been on this team for like 6 years. So it's awesome. I just want to point that out. Even Sharp. Sharp came in. Sharp hasn't really done a ton in his limited appearances. I'll say on the goal that Pacias scored, he kind of like shields a Pittsburgh defender to make it a bit easier for Pacias. And I think it's notable because it made kind of cleared open a lane there. Setting like a pick basketball style almost. It's funny to like notice that because you never really do. But he did that and helped clear lane for Pacias. So everyone got involved in that goal, despite it being a corner and you know, the looped in ball from Arteaga. But just, again, lots of people to highlight on that goal and in that second half. I'm mentioning Sharp because we're just kind of going, I've been going through our like midseason signings, seeing what they've been able to do for us this year. So far off the bat, I'm inclined to say that Paul Marie, after one performance, after one game, might be the best of those midseason signings, but we have yet to see. Juan Carlos Asocard was advertised to me as a striker, like I said, but he slotted in and did like a serviceable job at that right wing back spot. He got stuck in, he played with some heart, some energy and passion. Like that was fun to see. But it was not something I knew he could do or would do for us this year, but I guess maybe that was always the plan for Casciato. I don't know. I'd like to ask him if we see him in a press conference, but James, I think that's all the rambling I have for Tampa Bay Rowdy's end of this thing. We've talked about this game a lot, I think deservedly so. There's a lot to talk about, especially in the second half. Was there any other player you wanted to highlight for good or for bad? Is there someone we could be asking a bit more out of? Is there someone that you want to highlight other than your man of the match that had a great game? And then I'll hit you with one more follow-up question. What can we do to continue this momentum going into this weekend?
I will avoid the question specifically about players, because the only other one that I wanted to highlight will be my man of the match, and okay. I'll get into my reasoning there. But you know, Carlos, based on what we've been saying today, I guess one of my takeaways, which doesn't seem all that profound in any way here, but if we want to improve or continue down this road and continually improve the games, this win, let's get another, like try to build on this, I would say that we just got to keep putting players in the right places. Whatever podcast I was listening to today or yesterday, maybe it was a commentator, I don't know. I've watched too much soccer for a 3-day weekend, but somebody was talking about a coach being a very good tactician. And ultimately they said that part of being a great tactician in soccer is putting the best players in the best places based on what you have available. So we got to keep doing that. We got to keep doing that here. And I think, you've talked about Paul Marie. I think that there's a good argument that he could have been a man of the match level player. I did not pick him just to put that out there, but he definitely had a good game. Carlos, should we head into our player of the match?
I think we should. I had one more thing to say, but I'm blanking on it. It'll probably come back when we're talking about Sacramento and we're almost done. But if we're jumping into our man of the match, I am going to throw in Woobs Pacias as my man of the match, particularly because he got the game-winning goal. Mm-hmm. It was such an insane touch to bring that down.
It was.
Blasted by the Pittsburgh goalkeeper, aptly named Dick. I don't even know his first name, but that's his last name. An incredible goal, an incredible finish. I'm really, really, really happy with that. Like, just because we haven't really seen either him or Arteaga get into the full form we've expected out of both of them this year. The goal scoring run that we would have liked from both of them this year, not just either, like both of them, especially because we've seen them both on the field now more and more. Maybe that's something we see going forward, because it seemed to work in the second half more than our situation with Luis Alvarez behind Woobs did. But he is, I felt this all season. I felt that he's just that one goal away from really starting to open things up. And it hasn't necessarily happened yet for him. I'm hoping this is the one, because he looked like it looked like it took away off of his shoulders. Like he was celebrating, like I said, like he won the World Cup. It was really, really cool to see. I'm hoping that this is the start of what's like this incredible back end run for the team as a whole, but particularly for him. And if, who knows, maybe for Arteaga too, keep whipping in those balls and we could see him becoming a chance creator more so than the striker. Like that was an insane ball. We'll see what we get out of both of them. Woops gets the game-winning goal, so it's hard for me to pass him up as my man of the match. But Paul Marie gets my honorable mention, if that's a thing we can do, because he had an insane game. He was really, really fun to watch, super passionate on the field, fiery. He's my honorable mention that I'm throwing in here, despite that not being a real RBLR title. But it's our show. Who cares, James? We can do whatever we want. Who's your man of the match?
Yes, my man of the match is Lewis Hilton, and I mean, he got the goal. The goal was not something that he probably even knew about. Joey Skinner's header just happened to fall, I think, more so into his knee than his knee into the ball, but regardless, that's fine. He got the goal. Much more than that, I want to highlight Lewis Hilton's impact on this team. I think when Lewis Hilton is off the field, the Rowdies are a different side, and I don't think they're as good a side. That was evident in this game. He played the first, 80 minutes, something like that. And, he had an immense impact, on the way that we played. I think that he demands a certain level from all of his teammates. And I truly do think when the Rowdies don't have him on the field, we don't look anywhere near as good. So Lewis Hilton is my man of the match. He got a goal. Like I said, that was accidental. That was not the reasoning. But Paul Marie does get the honorable mention, just as Carlos mentioned. And we will have Woobs and Hilton as our man of the match for this past game.
By the way, you mentioned that Hilton makes the team better whenever he's on the field. Like all you really have to do is look at last week against Detroit.
That's the contrast.
Yeah, and not only like where the midfield was, but just the team as a whole. Like that was maybe our worst game. Well, there's one game that sticks out in my head that will probably be the worst game I've ever seen the Rowdies play this season, like ever. But in terms of regular season league play, that game was just as dominating a 2-0 win loss as it could have been. Lost. And I think a Lewis Hilton veteran center midfield really, really, really helps change that. So good to have him back playing significant minutes. Even in those games where he's not on the score sheet or getting the assists, like you can feel the impact that he has on the field. Good for him. Great shout. I will say, I know I mentioned Van Kaziel could have done a bit better on that first goal that Detroit scored, but I totally forgot to mention that he got the goal line clearance that would have put Detroit up 2-0 early on in this game, in like the 24th, 25th minute, maybe. Worth mentioning, because we didn't mention it during our recap or our analysis here, but I think Kaziel deserves you don't get goals as defense for getting a goal line clearance, but if that was a stat, like it should be highlighted. It was a really impressive goal line clearance, great positioning, great job being back there and robbing. I think it was Augie Williams that would have been a great, great goal for him. Okay, James, Rowdies win this one against Pittsburgh, against the legendary Bob Lilly, 2-1 at home in Al Lang Stadium, in the heat, in front of a crowd of 4,375. I hope it's not 400. It was a sparse-ish crowd. I'm hoping for more and more people showing up to the games on this back end of the year. They need everyone out there supporting them, particularly this Saturday against a really, really impressive Sacramento Republic side. Before we talk about that, I'm going to throw a shameless plug in to check out our shop.rblrsports.com podcast store. All the cool stuff over there. I'm doing a quick one this time. Eureka's cooked up some great designs. Shop.rblrsports.com to get all your cool gear for all your 10-base sports teams and use promo code COYR for 10% off. Get some Rowdies gear and get your butt to Al Lang Stadium this weekend, James. We're taking on an impressive Sacramento Republic squad. They're comfortably in second place in the Western Conference.
Yep.
They're led by one of my favorite managers in the Rowdies history. One of my favorite people, just in general. Incredible man, incredible coach, Neil Collins. Recently got his 100th win with Sacramento, not with Sacramento, 100th career win as coach. Most of those coming with the Rowdies, the last bunch coming with Sacramento. This is a good team, James. I'm excited for it to be Neil Collins' return game. Mm-hmm. It's the first time he'll be back at Lang as a opponent. He was at the stadium a couple times as, you know, just a fan, I guess. He was just checking things out after he departed. And he was in between coaching roles. But now he's back as an opponent. I'm excited to see that, you know, passionate Neil Collins intensity. Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it can be really annoying if we're on the other end. I'm sure it is. But I still love him as a person. It'll just be annoying, I'm sure, for a few minutes in this game. Okay. Sacramento is in second place. They played good soccer. They're on 34 points with 21 games. And they're coming off of an impressive 2-0 win against ninth place New Mexico United out west, away to New Mexico United. It's going to be a long away trip for them coming down to Tampa Bay. James, can you tell us a little bit about this Sacramento Republic squad?
I can do my absolute best here. So, Sacramento Republic, as we've said, doing pretty well so far. Comfortably, that's a good word, comfortably in second in the West, and they generally like to play with a 3-4-3 formation. You would be shocked to hear that, I'm sure, based on his time with the Tampa Bay Rowdies, where we generally also lined up in a 3-4-3 formation. In net, Danny Vitiello has been a constant since before Neil Collins joined the club, and I'm assuming that he will be there possibly until he retires, based on the way that things are going for him, because he's a very good goalkeeper, and I see no reason to replace him. In defense, we are likely to see Jared Timmer, Freddie Kleeman, and Lee Desmond. The only change to that is that Jared Timmer has not been heavily involved the last couple of games. I don't think he started the last couple of games, so possibly there's an injury there. Who might fill in for him? I would say Chibuike Ukaebu. I think that's his name. Oh. He is a youth player, actually, from the Sacramento Academy. He and Blake Willie are two players that have been actually making a lot of appearances for the Sacramento first team this season. So interesting that Neil Collins is going with the youth movement out in California. And those are the two players who have benefited the most during his relatively short so far reign out west. To continue with the midfield, we are likely to see Jack Gurr as the right wing back, Scotsman Nick Ross in the midfield with Roro Lopez, and Michel Benitez as the left wing back. Roro Lopez is a USL veteran, and he's been with Sacramento specifically for I don't even know how long, hundreds and hundreds of appearances probably. So if you don't know his name, I would be shocked if you're listening to this and you don't know his name, but Roro Lopez is their heart and soul captain, all that big stuff. He is the thing that drives this team forward. Up top, we are likely to see Christian Pirano, Corey Bennett, and Russell Cicerone. Bennett had both of the goals in the 2-0 win this past weekend for Sacramento, so keep that in mind. He's obviously got at least something of a hot streak, a pretty hot game anyway. Two goals, that's not too bad. And Pirano and Cicerone each have 6 goals across all competitions. I believe both of them, in fact, have 5 goals in the league and 1 goal in cup competition. So keep that in mind as well. Lopez and Gurr lead in assists. We know how Neil likes to play. As I said, wingbacks are going to be very important. In this case, again, Benitez on the left and Gurr on the right. Jack Gurr is a very good player. He has had moments where he was flirting with a move to MLS. He played with Aberdeen in Scotland as well. So he's got some pedigree there, and he will probably be one of their more dangerous players. What else did I want to say? Oh, yes, of course. You do not want to miss this game. Neil Collins is a former Rowdies player, a former manager, obviously. He's a legend with the club. I think that if there's ever a chance to come to a Rowdies game over the course of this whole season, other than the theme nights, like when we're celebrating the founding of the club, and other fun events, like they're going to have, I believe, more fireworks occasions. I don't remember offhand, but This is effectively one of those nights. So just keep that in mind. I really think that this is going to be a good chance to come and enjoy a Rowdies game. You can give Neil some shtick, and I'm sure he'll take it in good fun and possibly give some back depending on how the game is going too. But yeah, like I said, the wingbacks are going to be important here. Roro Lopez is going to be the heart and soul captain, all that good stuff for the club. And if he doesn't start, then we may see someone obviously step into the midfield role. But I'm certain Roro Lopez will get some number of minutes in this game. Lastly, where did I want to go? The other players up top include Trevor Amon. He has played a little bit. He has not been starting a ton. He was a player who was originally with Northern Colorado Hailstorm. Just wanted to make sure I got that one right. And he jumped up. He started last season pretty well. And he didn't finish it. So I think that he's just trying to work his way back into the starting 11 here. Christian Pirano, a young Argentine player. I believe he was with a USL club previously, tried to make a move elsewhere, and that didn't work out. So he's back in the USL and specifically with Sacramento. So the point is, Sacramento have several good players who were good enough to get looks elsewhere. And maybe for one reason or another, it didn't work out. They're back in the USL. That means that they're going to be good contributors. Yeah. I think that we should keep an eye out on multiple of these players and, of course, try to enforce our will down the wings as opposed to letting Sacramento do what they want to do on the wide areas for this game. Yeah. Carlos, is there anything else that we want to include for this one before we do our score predictions?
No, you mentioned all the dangerous players, obviously, on top of former Rowdies head coach and player Neil Collins coming back, former Rowdies center back Freddie Kleeman has found his regular starting gig with Sacramento Republic, plays a lot for them. Their scoring is really interesting. Their top goal scorer is spread out. I mean, they have a lot of guys that can make things happen. Pirano has 5 goals. Cicerone has 5 goals. Herrera has 4. Bennett has 3. Roro Lopez has 3. Like, it's spread out. It's really interesting. It makes it really dangerous because any of these guys can be a contributor at any moment. Even Unk, Roro Lopez, 38 years old, got 3 goals this year and making things happen with, I think, like five assists. Am I making that up? 5 assists on the year in USL play. It's not a team that I would expect to sit back and absorb any pressure playing away from home at Outlank Stadium. Neil Collins, we know what he is. We know what he likes to do. He knows the stadium and this club very well. And he probably knows that the system we're running is not all that different from the one he helped instill in this club so many years ago. So expect a interesting battle in this one. Obviously come out and support this club. Tampa Bay Rowdies need all the backing they can get in what's going to be a really, really, really tough match. Rowdies have played 2 games against Sacramento Republic in our USL Championship history. It includes a 1-1 draw back in 2023 at home and a 1-0 win away in June of 2024 last year. That was that insane kind of Charlie Dennis goal. I remember that game super clearly when we would win that 1-1. So technically undefeated against Sacramento. Hopefully we can keep that streak going into our 3rd game in our history against them, but we'll see what we can do on Saturday night. Again, get your tickets, go out to this one. This isn't sponsored by the Rowdies, but if they'd like to, I don't know, whatever, that'd be fun. More importantly, I really want to see crowds bigger than 4,375.
Yeah.
Big, big game. The Rowdies aren't a club that should be consistently in the 4K number, 5K, 6K. We've been accustomed to like average crowds in the low 6,000s. That makes a difference. An extra 2,000 people makes a really, really big difference. I'd like to see that number at the end of this game this weekend. It'll make a big impact. I'm really, really hoping we continue to this good run of form. That being said, James, should we jump into predictions here?
I'm ready if you are.
Great. I'll jump in and give my prediction, James, first, if you don't mind. This will be a really interesting game for all the reasons I've said. Also, forgot to mention the fact that Sacramento has conceded the least amount of goals in league play in the entire USL. They're not the most offensively staggering or anything. They put together really good numbers in the attack, but I think their most impressive aspect is their defending. A very Neil Collins-like team. They've only conceded 17 goals on the year, bettering Louisville City's goals conceded by 1, who's conceded 18 goals on the year. So I think it's going to be a really close game. I'm hoping we play a really, really good game like we did this past weekend. But I think based on those numbers, based on the fact that it's hard to score against them and the fact that they had the most clean sheets in the league, I'm going to go with a 0-0 draw. Is that weird? I feel like it might be weird. That's my guess.
You are not the only one going with a draw. So in that sense, it is not weird.
it feels like a weird result, but based on the fact that even when we played Sacramento a couple of years ago, we weren't in great form. Like, we were figuring things out and we drew against them. I think there's room here for a draw, and I think I'd be mostly okay with it. It was a really good team. It's hard to score goals against them. I wouldn't be mad if we get a shutout at the cost of not scoring a goal. Like, I think that's okay. But obviously hoping for a win. I think if we do get a win, it's going to be in like the 1-0 range. It'll be a really close, low-scoring affair is my guess, James. But officially I'll go with the 0-0 draw for now.
Okay. Well, I will actually go pretty similar to what you just said here and take a 1-0 win. I believe that the Rowdies will I don't know what I believe, but what I am feeling is that we can get a 1-0 win out of this one, and it'll piss Neil off perfectly just the way we want in his return to the stadium. And I would like to see that, obviously, for the 3 points, but also it'll be a nice little way to remind Neil what the Rowdies are. And let's go with that. Eureka joins you as predicting a draw here. His with goals, one on each side, a 1-1 draw for Eureka in the predictions. And Carlos, do we need anything else, or should we jump into extra time?
I think that's all we can say about Sacramento. It'll be a good game. It'll be a tight affair. I'm hoping, James, that your result is the accurate one. And that we can claw back into playoff position. Again, we're only 3 points out. It's insane that that's being said at this point in the year after everything that's happened this season, but that's the USL, you know? Like, these games are going to be huge. We have, like 7 home games left to end the year out of the last 9. It's ridiculous or something. It's insane. Let's make sure we can do our part to make Al Lang a fortress again, right? Like, we have this back end of the season to really make something happen and build some momentum. And who knows what can happen once you get into the playoffs. So let's get string together a couple wins, and the world's our oyster, James.
Never know.
Extra time. James, you were at the other soccer game going on in the Tampa Bay area on Saturday. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I didn't want to dwell too long on this. I already talked about it when we just opened the show. The Tampa Bay Sun unfortunately lost in their home opener for the 25-26 season against Sporting Jacks, debutante team Sporting Jacks. I did. I also do work for the Florida Soccer Report on Substack, and I do the Florida Rookie Series there. I did one article already on Georgia Brown, one of their defenders. I will probably do one on Ashlyn Puerta. And unfortunately, I will have to cover Ashlyn Puerta positively, despite what I thought, like I said earlier, was a pretty bad flop to earn a penalty in the second half of that game. Regardless, I really wanted to put this on our doc just to say, if anybody's listening who has any clout, any type of pull on this, can we stop overlapping Sun and Rowdies games? If you are a person in the Tampa Bay area who likes soccer, presumably you are going to be a fan of both teams in some measure. Maybe there are some people who are like, I hate women's soccer. I don't personally understand that reasoning. Maybe there are some people who say that they hate men's soccer. I personally don't understand that reasoning either. But the point is here, if you are a fan of one team, it is more than likely that you are also a fan of the other team. And I really can't stand to see so many games that are going to overlap and we have to pick and choose. Our producer Eureka was joking that he was going to try and make it to one or both and see one half of each game. It's really not feasible, even just with the drive. So I don't know what we can ask of USL. I know that there's not ownership overlap, but guys, you're killing us with this. You're killing us with this. So that's why I wanted to put this on there. And then my last thing for extra time, Today, the transfer window is closing in Europe. It is different in other, in certain places. It's even longer in certain places within Europe. But for many of the major leagues that everybody follows around the world, or I guess specifically, again, around Europe, the transfer window is closing and there are a lot of big moves being made. So check that out. Transfer Market is a good place to do that if you want to. I just don't like their pop-up ads. But other than that, Transfer Market's great. And yeah. Those are the extra time movements that I wanted to throw in there.
Sweet. Sweet. Shout out to all the Tampa Bay teams that had a great weekend this weekend. Rays sweep. USF gets a big win against Boise State. They'll have a fun game against Florida this weekend. Keep an eye on that. James, follow at RBLR Sports. You probably do, but in case you're listening and you don't follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere and everywhere, you can follow us at RBLR Sports. You can follow James. James, where can they follow you?
I am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K.
And you can follow me at CarlosTPA10 on Twitter. Use hashtag AskRBLR if you ever want to reach out, get a question on the pod. If you're listening live and you didn't have a chance to throw a comment in here or a question, we always like hearing those and reading those out. Seeing what people have to say about the game this weekend, seeing what people have to say about the game this upcoming weekend. Always fun to get those live. And if you're listening on the recorded version, whether that's on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google Podcasts, like and subscribe to our podcast on that platform too. And you can get the full experience with visuals and my new little Amazon ring light on YouTube. James, great win this weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's have a great time with Neil Collin this week. Send him home that. Come on, you rowdies. Make that push. Come on now.
Let's go.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.